Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Each time I've read this passage from John's Gospel this week, it seems that a different verse or phrase or image has jumped out at me, which is frustrating when you're trying to find the one thing you want to preach about on Sunday morning. But then again, Scripture can kind of be like that. The one sentence that has resurfaced for me more times than any other, however, is this last sentence. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." When a verse catches one's ear like that repeatedly, one should pay attention, because Scripture can also be like that as well. Now, Jesus performs perhaps his greatest miracle in this passage. Raising Lazarus from the dead is a fairly well-known story. I mean, it isn't every day that you read about someone being raised from the dead. In fact, Jesus was the last one to be raised from the dead, and that was over 2,000 years ago. And the story of Jesus is the greatest story ever told. So no wonder the raising of Lazarus from the dead also sticks out a little bit for us. Now today we're celebrating the Feast of All Saints. This is one of the seven major feasts of the church year. The other six are Easter Day, Christmas Day, Epiphany, Ascension, Pentecost, and Trinity Sunday. And All Saints Day celebrates the lives of all the saints, those known and those unknown, who have been reunited with God in heaven through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, the raising of Lazarus is then, right, a fantastic story for today, don't you think? I can see, aside from one yes, that there are several other doubtful faces. Thank you for the one yes. So let's unpack this a bit and see if we can be enlightened as to why this might be a great story. If you take the story of Lazarus from this morning and you look for a commonality between All Saints Day and this story of Lazarus being raised from the dead, and if you take the definition I just gave you of All Saints Day, which is that All Saints celebrates the lives of all the saints, known and unknown, who have been reunited with God in heaven through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there are two intersections. There are two common points. And those two common points are Jesus and death. So let's dig in. All Saints Day celebrates this reunion of the saints with God in heaven. How is that accomplished? Well, it's accomplished through death and the resurrection of Jesus. In the Lazarus story, how is God glorified in the point made about Jesus being the Son of God? Through Jesus defeating death and raising his friend Lazarus, who has been dead, and I mean D-E-A-D, dead, for 4 days. And the King James Version of the Bible puts this oh so poetically about how long Lazarus has been dead. The King James Version says, "Martha says to Jesus, 'Lord, by this time he stinketh. He has been dead 4 days.'" Through defeating death and raising Lazarus from death and giving him life afresh, Jesus shows the almighty power and the heart-starting love of God. Without Jesus, Lazarus doesn't get raised from the dead. And in fact, a couple of verses earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus actually hangs around where he is 4 days longer than he would have otherwise when he hears that Lazarus is sick and might be dying. He literally waits for Lazarus to die before he moves to go to him. See, without Lazarus dying, Jesus doesn't get to perform this miracle, right? He brings Lazarus back to life so that God may be glorified and so that the crowd of people witnessing this miracle might believe. And that believing in Jesus and the eternal life that he brings, we also get to believe in that eternal life. Near the end of John's Gospel, the author confesses, why does he even written the Gospel in the first place? He says, "But these things are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name." So the two common points that run both in our gospel passage and the celebration of All Saints Day, are Jesus and death. We don't get the saints being reunited with God in heaven unless Jesus dies. More importantly for us here today, we don't get to be raised from the dead and get to have life eternal without Jesus and our own death. I'll also note that these two common points about Jesus and death are two topics that in our world, in our society, are almost taboo. If you're walking on the street and someone comes up to you and says, "Let me talk to you about Jesus," you might feel a little bit uncomfortable. Want to feel uncomfortable? Substitute the word death for Jesus in that transaction. "Let me talk to you about death." You'd probably be reaching for your phone to dial 911. As Christians, we don't have to fear death. As Christians, we no longer have to be terrified by death. Why? Jesus. Death is not the end for us. The end for us is where those saints are, reunited with the God who loves them, who knew them through and through and loved them anyway, for all of eternity. Now that is some good news. Want some more good news? Today, we made three Christians. Madeline, Eleanor, and Caroline were baptized today at the 9:15 service. Today, the Holy Spirit, with parents and godparents and all the congregation gathered, made for them and gave for them eternal life so that they don't have to be afraid of death or even of Jesus. Now, that brings me back to the phrase that caught my ear the first time around. When Jesus commands the people gathered around the tomb to unbind him and let him go, in that moment when Jesus commands the crowd to unbind Lazarus, he's also unbinding them and us today from our fear, from the certainty of death being our end. He unbinds us even from our unbelief. Part of what we did this morning when we baptized Madeline, Carolyn, and Eleanor is that we unbound them. We unbound them from the fear and the finality of death. We unbound them from ever being alone because we bound them to us, their new family in Christ. And we made promises to them, the same promises that were made at our baptism by those who were gathered that day. And we were given the same gift of eternal life. And the promise that carries the most weight in my mind is when the celebrant asked the congregation, "Will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support these persons in their new life in Christ?" And the congregation says with one voice, "We will with God's help." That means that when Eleanor or Caroline or Madeline finds herself stuck and bound up by the myriad of ways that we as humans can bind ourselves up, and we're pretty darn good at binding ourselves up, that we have a responsibility to each of them to help unbind her and let her go. We now have a responsibility to these little girls, and guess what? We have that same responsibility to one another. We have that responsibility to ourselves. Each of us will need help unbinding ourselves, just as Lazarus, whose hands and feet and face were tied up, we get tied up too. When we see our brother and sister in Christ bound to something that separates him or her from the love of God, we are to help. We have promised that we will help unbind that person because we are bound together by the love of God. We need to help that bound person become unbound so that he or she can be freed and can be let go. When we do that, we're living into our baptismal covenant more fully. Through our baptism, we're bound together as Christians. And with God's help, we can unbind someone. We're helping to give that gift of new life. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." In the name of the Father who is love, in the name of Jesus who unbinds us and gives us eternal life, and in the name of the Holy Spirit who binds us all together in love. Amen.